All right, Luke chapter 15, verse 25. The word of the Lord says, "Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and he heard dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Verse 27 says, 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has made his way safe and sound.' And the older brother became angry and he refused to go in. So his father went out and he pleaded with him, but he answered his father. He said, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and I've never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends.' Verse 30, but when his son, when this son of yours who has squandered your prosperity and prostitutes come home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, 'You are always with me and everything I have, it is yours. But we had to celebrate and we had to be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he has now been found.'" So tonight what I want to do is I want to talk about the toed tonight, the toed. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say the toed? Look at somebody beside you and tell them, say, "Do you have a toed tonight?" A toed, T-U-D-E, a toed. What am I talking about? I'm talking about an attitude tonight. All right, a lot of people they're thinking, you know, what is a toed? It's short for attitude. You've got some people that, man, they are so good at sporting a toed. All right, they're so good at sporting an attitude. For those that don't quite understand when I say that, I'll help you out. It means that we carry an attitude about ourselves. We carry an attitude where we go. We carry an attitude with us. And I want to ask this, how many times in life do we, if we're honest, do we get an attitude about something which rubs us the wrong way? Come on now. Come on, there you go. Yeah, yeah. You know, we get an attitude when we think about something that just rubs us the wrong way. Man, we can let it get to us, and then we can start sporting the toot around. And you know, it's when the family members and when the friends come to you and they say, "What is wrong with you? You've got a horrible attitude." "No, I don't have an attitude." Yeah, you do. See, we often fail to see things as they are and view them from our own perspective. And so thus, the attitude comes about. So we get mad at this. We get angry at that. We get offended by this. And we get aggravated by that. But often, we don't realize what we look like or sound like to other people around us. I mean, many times I remember you have an attitude and the attitude comes out. "I don't have an attitude. How dare you say that I've got an attitude? Look at the way that you're acting." I said, "I'm not acting no way." I mean, just, you know, but we all are guilty, are we not? And so I begin to think, you know, that this is the time of the year right now. That next Wednesday we're going to come in here and be the Wednesday right the week before Thanksgiving. I begin to think, you know, this is the time sometimes that if we're not careful that we can kind of sport an attitude. Time of the year that if we're not careful we can kind of begin to get an attitude about us. How many know somebody that they carry an attitude? Now, don't point, but you just say, "I know somebody. I know somebody like that." Let's look at tonight. What I want to do is I want to look at a character in the story of the prodigal son. And it's a lot of preachers, we love to preach about the prodigal son. We love to focus in on the prodigal son because the prodigal son is a symbolic to something that every Christian has been through, that we've went away, but then we've come back to God and we gave our life to Christ.
But a lot of preachers and a lot of people don't want to talk about the brother of the prodigal son. They don't want to talk about this brother, who he is. And the thing that I want to see is the prodigal son's brother, is in this case, is the one who is sporting the attitude. So a prodigal's return, I want you to look at this, the glad scene that has taken place. I suppose that every morning a father, when he got his coffee, would step out on the porch. And I can just vision that the father is looking out over the horizon, drinking his coffee, and just trying to see as far as he can. He may have had a pair of binoculars on the front porch with him, and he'd pick them up, and he'd scan across just to see if this was the day that his son decided he wanted to come home. And can I get a vision of my son? Can I see my son? Is my son is he hurt somewhere? Where is he at? And so every day the prodigal, the father is looking for the son. And then finally when he comes home, I want you to envision the celebration scene that is going on. The father, man, he runs out to meet his boy. He's so excited. He kisses him on the cheek and he takes his ring and puts him a ring on and gives him a robe. He tells his servants, go and kill the fattest calf you can. And we're gonna celebrate tonight. We're going to party all night long. And look at the joy over the boy that is returning. But I also want you to notice and see that the elder brother returns from the field. And when he comes in, he hears music and dancing. He hears people celebrating, not knowing what's going on. When he finally finds out, he refuses to enter into the joy, and therefore he misses out on the party. Don't ever miss out on the party, folks. Don't ever miss out on the party. But this boy, the brother, he misses out on the party. Why? I'll tell you why. Because he's sporting an attitude. He don't want to be around nobody. He don't want to, he doesn't want to be around the other brother. He don't want to be around the dad at this time. He doesn't want to conversate. He don't want to hear about what's going on. He just got an attitude about himself. He's just carrying an attitude. He's in a hateful spirit right now. So I thought, what caused the older brother to miss the joy of this occasion? He had an attitude that was negative, critical, and a grumbling spirit about him. He was negative. He had a critical, grumbling spirit. The Bible says in verse 28, the older brother became angry, refused to go in. So his father, he went out and he pleaded with the boy. And so today, one of the main evidences of our need is our negativism and our complaining and our griping. How different we are from the early saints. How different are we? When I look back at the Word of God, here's what I discovered here. Paul could praise in prison. But you know what we do? We pout even in prosperity. We get mad. We're mad at the world. We're all upset over the silliest little things imaginable. I mean, we get so bent out of shape. I look at the Word of God and I see that Paul, he glorified in his infirmities. But we growl even in times of wealth. Things are going good for us. But if we're not careful, we can still find something to be upset about, still find something to be negative about. If you growl all day, listen, don't be surprised if your dog tired at night. And that's the honest to God truth. Never have Christians had so much as they do today and have appreciated it so little as they do today. Help us, Lord. I mean, come on, we're getting ready for turkey and dressing and turkey and stuffing, pecan pies and deviled eggs. A time that we ought to be thankful, right? A time that we ought to look and say, hey, God, you've been good to me. But you know what we do? We have so much, but we appreciate it so little nowadays. What some Christians grumble about, they grumble about their family members. Everybody's got the weird cousin Eddie, right? Everybody's got that family member that you're in a secret. You're sending texts to your family members and you're saying, are they coming today? Are they going to be at the party tonight? I hope not. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I hope they don't come. Boy, if they come, don't sit me beside them. I don't want anything to do with them. They're weird, you know. They're stale. So what do we grumble about? Family members. We grumble about the jobs. We grumble about the government. We grumble about the weather specialist. About we are good at finding faults. We are good. Oh man, are we good? I told last week. By the way, you like the floor? Great. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for it. Yeah, but preacher, sure is going to be loud when people walk on that. That's what I heard. Yeah, I'll call you out. I heard that. I said, well, actually, you can tap dance on it, and it's not going to be loud. I mean, it's just not. What I'm saying is this: we can find fault about anything. We are good at that. We are specialists when it comes to finding fault. Man, I mean, what a beautiful day. Well, we just need some rain. Man, we're thankful for this rain. Yeah, but my crops are going to flood if it don't stop. We're so good at this. We find fault about everything. Some grumble about their church. Some grumble about their pastor. I'll knock you out. I'll bust you right now in the mouth. But think of this, folks. Revived hearts, though. And that's what I'm speaking to tonight. Revived hearts find enough in Jesus to keep them praising through anything else that they could find fault in. But you know what? Somebody with a heart of that's revived, they say, you know what? The Lord's been good to me. I spoke with somebody today and we begin to share stories and things that have been going on throughout the week. And I walked away and we both said this, but God is good. Amen. God is still taking care of us. God is still supplying. God is still blessing. That's what I'm talking about. We've got to cultivate a heart that is revived and say, you know what? I'm not going to be the one that's sporting a toad. I'm not going to be the one that's down in the mouth about everything, but I'm going to be the one that says, you know what? I'm going to find the good in everything. I'm going to find the good. Sometimes you got to search a little more than others, but there's good in everything. You've got to find it. The attitude of an offended spirit. Look at verse 29 of the same story. But he answered his father. He said, look, Dad, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my buddies. Verse 30, but when this son of yours, did you get that? Man, I saw it and it jumped out on me today. When this son of yours, who has squandered your prosperity with prostitutes, comes home. You kill the fatted calf for him all of a sudden. Everybody say attitude. You've got an attitude, young man. The problem is this. When this thy son, the King James Version says this, when this thy son was come, this brother, he had such an attitude that he was never going to accept this boy as being his brother. He said, this is your son, and this ain't right, and I'm hurt about this, and I'm mad about this, and I've done everything you told me to do, and I should, you know what, maybe, how many of you would raise, let's poll this tonight, how many of you say, I maybe can see some of the brother's feelings where he's coming from, you know, let me see your hand, hold on, I can kind of see where he's coming from a little bit, and now raise your hand if you say he's being a baby, he's absolutely being a baby. All right, yeah, a couple of you saying absolutely. So you know, we've got different emotions tonight, different feelings, but this son, all of a sudden, he's saying, it's not fair, Dad. It's not fair that I've done everything you told me to do, and I'm putting my money in the bank, and I'm working for you, and all of a sudden you've got this guy here that's your son. The NIV translation says, but when this son of yours has come, all of a sudden, hey, let's throw him a party. Not my brother, not my wayward lost one, listen, no personal commitment of attachment here at all between the brothers here. There is no commitment or attachment. An offended spirit, here's what I will say, an offended spirit often hinders the work of God. An offended spirit often hinders the work of God. Evidence of this offended spirit here made him grumble when it was time to rejoice and be glad. Man, this boy, this brother, he should have been excited. You know what? I didn't know if my brother was dead. I didn't know where my brother was at. I didn't know if I'd never see him again. This brother should have had a spirit of gratitude inside of him that says, you know what? Forget where you've been. I'm just glad you're home. I'm glad you're safe. I'm glad you're back here. You're not getting my room, but man, I'm glad you're back. I mean, I'm just so glad to have my brother. Listen, it made him grumble when it was time to rejoice. And that's what the spirit that gets offended sometimes will do. That when it's time to rejoice, you find a way to grumble about it. You find a way to complain about it. Listen, I've seen it more times, and I'm not going to start sharing stories or anything tonight, but I've seen it too many times where people got their blessing. They missed out on the blessing from God because they grumbled. They had a grumbling spirit about them, or they were offended about something when they should have been celebrating about something. I mean, really, truthfully. So we've got to understand, look what verse 28, the older brother became angry, refused to go in. So his father went out, pleaded with him. That just gets old sometimes. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me any young goats so that I could celebrate with my buddies. Look what happens here. Made him exaggerate his own righteousness. Is what an offended spirit did. Made him exaggerate. Made him feel sorry for himself. Saints, if you're not careful and the enemy can put an offended spirit inside of you, you'll begin to walk around and you'll begin to feel so sorry for yourself. And then what will happen is you'll get mad at anybody else that doesn't side with you. That's good. Think about that at Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, wait a minute, you're talking to her? Do you know what she has said to me? And then all of a sudden, I'm on the outs with two people. The enemy's like, let's keep it going. Why? Because that's what an offended spirit does. An offended spirit, it'll make you forget all that he had as the son of the Father. An offended spirit will make you forget how blessed you really are. Man, if we're not careful, we can so easily overlook what God has done for us, how God has blessed us. Saints of God, I almost had a little church the other day because I just began to say, God, you have been so good to me. So good to me. I was driving down the road. I even threw my hands up one time. I said, you've been so good to me. I am so blessed. So blessed by God. Anybody else can say that about your life tonight? I am so blessed by God. And he's so good to me. He's put you in my life. He's put me in your life. Come on now. Come on. Amen moment there. He's given us each other. And he's blessed us tonight. We got good health and good homes. And thank God tonight at 3 o'clock you're going to have heat in your homes. Be appreciative of that. I had to give my son the little talk this morning on the way to school. I said, would you rather be out under a bridge somewhere? Would you rather be sleeping in that manhole right there somewhere? I had to give him a little pep talk. He says, no way. I'm glad for heat. I appreciate heat. He said, but your seats don't heat like mama's seats do. I said, you little brat, you. You ought to be thankful. You just ought to be thankful that we got a car to get from point A to point B. See, there's so much, folks, and this just goes to show, even for us adults, this goes to show we can find fault in everything, and we can literally let it take over our lives, where everything that we say is critical, everything that we say is negative, everything that we say is an offended spirit. That, oh, I'm so offended. If you're not careful, but you've got to cultivate an attitude of gratitude and say, you know, God has been good to me. And as this other brother that was sporting the attitude, what should he have done? He should have just been thankful that his brother wasn't in the ditch somewhere. He should have been thankful and grateful that, brother, you've come back home, and I'm glad to have you around here. We've been looking for you. We've been waiting for you to come home. Thank God that you're here. So no wonder things are not as they ought to be. You are sporting an attitude. And so what it does is when you have an attitude, it distorts. It distorts your view of how good God is to you. It begins to distort. When you walk around with an attitude, and you know people that just have an attitude about everything. I mean, they can't be positive. They got to always find fault about everything. What it does, listen, it's just something that has developed in their life for a while. And now it's just, if I take my contacts out, baby, I can't see anything at all. I mean, you come up, punch me right in the mouth, I'll never see you. All right? And it's the same way. Somebody that has an attitude, they're walking around, and just for a period of time, they can't see anything else. They can't see anything else but negative. They can't see anything else but critical and negative. That's all that they're able to see. And so what we've got to understand tonight is that God wants us to cultivate an attitude that says, you know what, I'm losing the attitude. I'm grateful for the brother being home. I'm grateful for what God has blessed me with. You know, the sin of a compassionless heart. Verse 30, it says this, but when this son of yours, not my brother, but when this son of yours who has squandered all the money away and come home and you kill the fatted calf for him, why was this prodigal's brother, listen, unmoved by his return? Why did he could care less that the brother has come home? He didn't think anything about it. He had no compassion at all. Here's the reason: because he had been unmoved by him being away. Think about that. Think about that as a church. When you see the prodigal come walking back into the church house, if you're not moved by them being here, it's because you were never moved by their absence at all. Never bothered you. Never thought about it. Maybe because something happened, say words were exchanged, feelings were exchanged, whatever it was. But you know what? When they come back home as a church, we ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So this brother, he had been unmoved by his brother even being away. So he worked hard on the family farm. But unlike his father, he didn't care about his missing brother at all. The father, listen, the father cared the whole time. The father cares. Question, do you care? Do you care? See, we often neglect to talk about the older brother because it speaks to us of our own sins sometimes. We don't like to talk about the older brother because sometimes we see the attitude that he has toward his brothers as the attitude that we may have toward other people and the attitude that we may have about life, the attitude that we may have about things that are going on, things that I don't have, and I'm overlooking what I do have. Do you see yourself as one whose attitude is keeping you from the joy of life? Think about it. I can't help but think about the church and talk about the church. The church is all that I know. But I can't tell you how many times, listen, you miss out on your blessing. Well, it's getting tensed. You miss out on your blessing sometimes because you sport an attitude when somebody comes to an altar to get blessed. You don't like what they're watching or what they're wearing, how they're walking. You don't like how they didn't speak to you. You don't know what happened to them that morning. You don't know what kind of week they've had. But all of a sudden, you missed out on a blessing. Because I'm just carrying around an attitude about me. And you don't know that God wants to do something special in your life, but it can't happen because I'm not going to allow it. How dare you, God, do something for them, and I've been faithful serving you this whole time. Sounds just like the older brother here. Just like the older brother. See, it's time, saints, tonight that I feel that it's time that we confess our attitudes to God. Our attitudes to God. You know, a lot of times we come to God if we've done something big and we really messed up something big in our life. We said a big word, or we told a big lie, or we stole something big, whatever it was. Then we come to God and confess something. But you know what? I think it's important that we come to God about the attitudes that we carry around sometimes as well. And we ask God to like David had to one time again experience the joy. David asked, Lord, let me experience the joy of salvation again. Ask God to keep us alert to attitudes that we get on a daily basis and to help us to overcome them. And see, I want to tell you, I believe that there'll be joy waiting on us at the door. If we can learn to control the attitudes that sometimes people bring out in us, our mind, our will, our emotions bring out in us, and we start thinking the most negative thing all the time, just because your steering wheel don't heat up and somebody else's does. All of a sudden they you think you're better than me. All of a sudden you think you've got you all listen, nobody said that. Nobody said that. I can't tell you how many times I was at Walmart before. And I had somebody, they got mad. You didn't speak to me. I'm at Walmart. I don't want to speak to you. My goal in Walmart is to get in and get out as fast as I can. That's it. If you're not careful, that will offend you right now. But that's me. I don't want to speak. I want to get in. I want to get out. I'm not dressed for Walmart. I just want to go. Okay? I love you at church. But see, sometimes we do this to each other too. Sometimes you don't know what the person's been through. You don't know what kind of week they've had, and you don't know the fight they've had in their marriage. You don't know the financial setback they may have had this week. You don't know what they're just dealing with, and they're just in kind of a funk in life. And then all of a sudden, you just throw this attitude up because they didn't just come to you and love on you the way you wanted it to happen and expected it. Am I speaking to anybody tonight? And see, if you're not careful, here's the point. The devil will use that. He'll destroy a church like that too. Because people start sporting an attitude and saying, they're not friendly. And I'm leaving that church. I love you. I love you. I love you. But you're missing out on the blessing, not me. You're missing out on the blessing. Just like the older brother. Older brother, you could have been at the party eating Bill's calf. Just like everybody else was. But because you had an attitude, you decided to stay outside the fence and just just kind of keep looking back. I see you. I'm not going to be a part of this. The dad had to go out. The dad was so drained. The dad says, son, you got to come back. No. I'm not going to do it. Okay, you're missing out. So what I'm saying is don't let the devil put an attitude inside of you and inside of your mind and allow it to grow and to fester and to birth a negative spirit inside of you. Listen, man, this is important to speak about this time of the year right now because it happens a lot.